ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः एक्चुअली वी हैव कम अप टू द पॉइंट वेयर वी डिस्कसिंग टू फोल्ड पावर्स Actually, the only power obtaining in two forms, two aspects of the power as Maya, Vikshepa Shakti, Maya has twofold aspects, Avarna Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti. That's what we came up to. I'll just sum up, then we can go to that actual text. There is a point where this book, the Vedanta Sara, Vedanta Saraha, introduces the Swarupam of the Turiyam, Turiya. And from there I'll start so that we'll understand. What I'll do, before I come next week, before we meet next week, I'll see that from the beginning till now, what we have covered, I'll give you the summary of the whole thing. So that whoever missed before, you will have an idea. You won't miss anything. It's okay? Even if you have not missed also, because long gap, we're meeting, so I'll say that everybody understands everything correctly. See, the very word Turiyaha, I'll start from there. And then in Mandukya class also, we've already seen, the word Turiyaha means Chaturthaha. Chaturthaha means the fourth. Chaturtha Turiya literally means what? The fourth. So fourth means, what is fourth here? See, the Atma is implied by the term Turiyaha, meant by the word Turiyaha. Here, what is Atma here again? The all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, every individual is Atma. So the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, and which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, is implied by the term Atma. And that the truth, all pervasive reality, implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, every individual, which means obtaining as the essence of the substance of the substantive I, is what? Atma. And that Atma alone is now also known by the term Turiyaha. Why? Because Turiyaha, Atma is not the fourth person. This we have already seen in Mandukya class, you have to remember all the time. No, Turiyaha, but like the fourth, one who obtains, that which obtains as the fourth person. Like the fourth person. How Atma is like the fourth person? We already analyzed. See, how is Atma available for recognition? How do you recognize the Atma? What way can one recognize Atma? Atma is not an object of knowledge, so not available for objectification, not perceptible also. So imperceptible, non-objectifiable Atma, how do you recognize? Because you have to recognize. How do you recognize? Available for recognition as the, very swarupam of the experiencer, the knower. The subject of knowledge. So this all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, every individual, the very content of the very substance of the substantive I is available for recognition only as the swarupam, very truth of the experiencer, the subject of knowledge, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Before we say the subject of, who subject of knowledge, who is the experiencer here? What do we mean by experiencer or knower? To arrive at the experiencer, you have to see what is the known and what is the knower, what is the experienced and who is experiencer. So here the subject-object analysis helps you to distinguish the experiencer from the experienced. And then we see, even leave the experienced now, with the very experience, experiencer is distinct from the very experience. So we can say this Triputi Bhedaha, the knower, knowledge, known, or experiencer, experience, and the experienced. And here, so we have to distinguish the experiencer from the experience and the experienced, so that we can arrive at the, once you are, you distinguish the experiencer, then you can understand, you can know, inquire into the truth of the experiencer, arrive at the, stumble upon the truth of the experiencer cognitively, so that you can arrive at the truth, that you can understand what Atma is. Is there any other way? No way. You have to be very clear, okay? Is this no way of arriving at the Atma? Isn't it? Therefore, yeah, it's available as for recognition only as the swarupam of the experiencer. Means you have to first of all know who the experiencer is. To understand what the experiencer is, you have distinguished the experiencer from the experience. That is why, Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya helps you distinguish the experiencer from the experienced. Helps you distinguish the subject of knowledge knower from the object of knowledge. And thereafter, even to distinguish the experiencer from the very experience, you use what? Avastatraya Prakriya, the analysis of the three states of experience. Is it okay? So, that's why, to know where the experiencer is, how the experiencer is, who the experiencer is, to distinguish the experiencer, you have to analyze the very experience, what the experience is. So, how many experiences do we have? Only the three states of experience, fourth state of experience. Only three states of experience, and each state of experience is, each state of mind. That is why we say waking experience and dream experience and deep sleep state experience. So, Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha, Sushupti Avastha. And three avasthas are there, three states of experience, which are three states of the mind. And in each state of mind is each state of experience, means the experiencer must be there in each state of experience, without whose presence experience is not possible. The very experience itself is what? Is there possible because of the very presence of the existence of the experiencer. Therefore, in each state of experience, there is inseparably the experiencer. So, one obtains, and then that's why we say the three states of experience are mutually exclusive and they're discontinuous, they're variable, but in these three variable states of experience, mutually exclusive states of experience, discontinuous experiences, the experiencer, the one who obtains as the experiencer, that which the experiencer is one and the same experiencer, the I. So, who the experiencer is? Is it that one invariably present experiencer is none other than pure awareness? That's how we arrive at it. There's no experiencer, there is no knower other than pure consciousness, pure awareness. So that's, we have to be very careful also. We never say knower is, you know, the consciousness is the knower. We never make this statement, expression, consciousness is the experiencer. But we have to say very clearly, without any doubt, there is no experiencer other than consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness. So you arrive at it. Here we say, this consciousness, the awareness, we said to be what now? We see it as the truth of the experiencer, truth of the knower. And like the fourth person, understand, I'm coming to the meaning of the word Turiya. Like the fourth person, the experiencer, the reality, the Atma, obtaining as the very truth of the experiencer, is like the fourth person, obtaining in all the three states of experience. Is it? So Atma is not the experiencer of the dream state. Atma is not the experiencer of the waking state. Atma is not the experiencer of the any other state. But still there is no experiencer of the dream state, waking state and deep sleep state is one and the same Atma only. Isn't it? They were like the fourth person Atma is. Therefore, that Atma is also what known by the term Turiyaha. This is a very beautifully, clearly explained in the Mandukya, isn't it? We saw that. But here the word Turiyam comes. So I thought, let me start from there. So it'll be easy to pick up and to continue. Is it clear? And one more thing I want you to understand. This is, when I say awareness, this is a very, it has to be very clear. A pure awareness or consciousness, we use these two terms, isn't it? Or in pure knowledge, you can use three terms also. Jnanam, when you say pure awareness or pure consciousness or pure knowledge, three terms are synonyms. So, but let us hold on to one word. So, this awareness here is, we don't make this statement, awareness is the experiencer, awareness is the knower. We don't say that. Why? Awareness is not the knower. But who is knower then? Knower is awareness, definitely. When you say knower is awareness, it is an equation. Knower is awareness. I, the knower, is, or I, the knower, am awareness. I want to use is instead of am, so it will be very clear for you. I, the first person singular pronoun, is a knower is awareness. Knower is awareness. Which means when you say knower is awareness, you are resolving the knower status in awareness. Resolving the knower status in awareness means what? The truth, the swarupam of knower is awareness. Then here the question might come, what do you mean by the swarupam of the knower is awareness? What do you mean by that? What is, when you say truth of the knower is awareness, swarupam of the knower is awareness. You know, when you say, what do you mean by that? And you have to remember this old example, every class I made you, I said in the class, I made you feel bored also, I'm going to make you feel bored again, don't feel bored again, okay? You have to listen to this. Because this is something people always get confused. They never understand when you say truth of the knower, swarupam of the knower. Maybe there's no solid person sitting there, isn't it? There's no knower, it's abstract thing. Knower is an abstract thing. Can't understand. Like how in the regular example is what? When we say all these opaque things in this room are well lit, they shine, each opaque thing shines here, all opaque bodies shine here, because they're all are illumined. All our bodies, all the other objects, the walls, etc., everything here is opaque in nature. And all these opaque things now shine because they are very well illumined. Therefore, all the opaque things which shine come under the category of the illumined objects of illumination. The objects of illumination, the illumined, isn't it? You say, it is a world. We can see even, so many, everything here is illumined, 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 illumined. Except one thing, everything is illumined here. I'm talking only with reference to, okay? So this world of object, of the world of illumined objects, the opaque objects, they shine because there is illumination. Without the illumination, the illumined cannot even have the status of being existent. Very important thing, okay, very subtle, but listen carefully. These opaque things which shine because they're illumined, and these, they cannot even have the status of being illumined. They cannot have the status of being existent if they are not illumined. And they enjoy the status of being existent because they are illumined, because they shine, isn't it? And for illumined means there is illumination. And illumination is possible, therefore they shine, they are illumined. And illumination is possible means, what is that which makes the illumination possible? There is illuminator. Is it clear? There is an illuminator. The very illumination is the proof for what? Illuminator being there. Without the illuminator, illumination is not possible. Without the illumination, the illumined is not possible. And unillumined will be what? As good as non-existent. Because they won't shine. Is it clear? Therefore, now you see, so therefore the truth of the illumined and the truth of the illumination is what? The very illuminator. The truth of the illuminator, who the illuminator is. Is there an illuminator here? Yes. Who is the illuminator? We have to say, what a big deal, we know very well. Illuminator is light. When you say illuminator is light, illuminator is a status, it's a mere status. There is no illuminator at all other than the light. Illuminator is a status which is resolvable in the very light. You say illuminator is the light. The illuminator status is resolved in the light. And that light should be understood as the swarupam of the illuminator, the truth of the illuminator. Why do you call that light as a truth of the illuminator, swarupam of the illuminator? Illuminator is a status which is temporarily there. Understand now? The status is a temporary status. And without the light, there cannot be illuminator. If there's no light, will there be illuminator? Turn the switch off, let the light be put off, will there be illuminator? It is the existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. Therefore, we say what? This light is to be understood as the swarupam, the intrinsic nature or truth of the illuminator. Which means you understand illuminator is only a temporary status. It is not like, it is not, why it's a temporary status? Attributed to the very light. But light by itself, you ask light, if you say, is light an illuminator? Is illuminator the light? Yes, the light, illuminator is the light. There is no illuminator other than the light. Is light the illuminator? No. Why? Because illumining is not an action on the part of the light. It is the very nature of the light. Is it clear? Illumining is an action. Does the light make any effort? Is there any will involved for the light to illumine the objects? No. Therefore, illumination is not an action on the part of the light, but illumination is the swarup of very nature of the light. The present light is, existence of light is what? Illumining, isn't it? So, illumining is not an action, it is the very swarupam. Therefore, we say light is the illuminator, we cannot say, but illuminator is light, we can say. And what is illuminator? There is no such a thing called illuminator at all. It is only a temporary status attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined, which shine in the presence of the light. Is it clear? Similarly, here also, if you ask this now, we have to remember this very clearly. There won't be any doubt. Now, because all the time, runner, walker, eater, sleeper, eater. So, we always connect these adjectives we attribute to a person in keeping with the action the person is involved in, isn't it? Eater, jumper, runner, walker. Now we say, always we connect these things with the action. So we think, when you connect it with an action, any adjective, you always think of some solid, gross person only. That is why illuminator itself is what? It's not gross, isn't it? Illuminator, what is illuminator? It's a status attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined. Illuminator of every opaque object here is the light. How many lights are there? One and the only light. How many lights are here? Opaque objects illumined are many, but how many lights are there? The one and the only light is the illuminator of every opaque object. Is it clear? That is why we say illuminator also is one and the only illuminator, not many illuminators, really speaking. Many experiences are not there. In every individual, in each state of mind, that which obtains as the experience is what? One and the only one. Is it? Only illuminator is there. The only illuminator of varied objects is nothing but light. That's why we say there is no illumination happens to be the very swarupam of the light, not being an action. The illuminator is only a temporary status attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined. Therefore, this is called cognitively resolving the illuminator in light. You have reduced. Once the truth of the very illuminator is light means, is there something called illumination other than the light? There can't be illumination without the light. Therefore, the swarupam of the illumination is also what? The same light. What about the truth of the illumined? There cannot be illuminator without the light. There cannot be illumination without the light. Therefore, it is not possible for the illumined to be without the light. Therefore, we can say the truth of the three illuminator, illumination and the illumined is one and the only light. Why do you say truth of all the three is one and the same? Without that, it is not possible. There cannot be the illumined. There cannot be illumination. There cannot be the illuminator without one substance called light. Then we say that light is the truth of all the three. So similarly, if you extend the same example here, now when we distinguish, we have already done this in the kindergarten class itself. We have done very well, analyzed so many times, drip, drishya, viveka, prakriya. Isn't it? The subject-object analysis or the method of distinguishing the experiencer, the knower from the known has helped you very well to distinguish the knower from the gross body, subtle body, all subtle aspects, and you distinguish the knower, and definitely even you know very, very clearly knower is not the mind, knower is because the mind, the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, the gross physical body, now everything is object of knowledge here. Objects, everything comes under the category of the object of knowledge. And then so you don't need to say the world of the objects external to the body is object of knowledge. And not only that, so this even this body also is included in the external, within the world of objects. Not only the body, even subtle aspects, imperceptible subtle aspects such as sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, one's own mind, all three states of the mind, and every thought, every emotion, you know, such as anger, desire, etc., everything being including the knowledge I am is object of knowledge. The knowledge I am, ahankara, isn't it? I am. The ahankara, ego, what is ego? Isn't it? The knowledge that I am is also object of knowledge. All come under the category of the jnayam, the known. But the known enjoys the status of being the existent only when it becomes the known. If it's unknown, means what? It will be as good as non-existent. So the known enjoys the status of being the existent, being the known. The know, that is because there is knowledge. The known means the experienced enjoys the status of being the experienced because there is experience, isn't it? And we say an experience again is also possible because there is an experiencer. And what is this experiencer or knower or observer, the subject of knowledge, you know, is distinct from the known, but still that who this knower is, what that knower is, there is no knower. There is no knower other than knower is only a temporary status attributed to the pure awareness, pure consciousness from the standpoint of the known. The standpoint of consciousness, there is no knower. Consciousness is not the knower, but is no knower other than consciousness. When you reduce the I, when you find out what is the content of I, what is the substance of substantive I, what is who am I, what am I, what does I really means? When you search, then all the objects of objects of knowledge get negated as non-I, non-self, anatma. So body is negated, not physically, you are not pulling the body and throwing it away, but still you cognitively, you negate this body as an object of knowledge, therefore it becomes a non-self, means it is not the meaning of the word I. isn't it? So everything gets negated as non-I, non-I, non-self, because everything is the known. You see yourself as the knower, I the self am the knower, everything else is known to me, everything is this object of my knowledge. So I am the knower. When you see yourself as the knower, you negate everything as anything which comes under the category of the known as non-self. Now intellectually you negate everything. And the knower alone you cannot negate as non-self. You have to say, I am the knower. You can't say knower, isn't it? When you arrive at the, I am the knower, when you say, then who am I? Who this knower is? I the knower am. Who am I the knower? That is when you have to say what? I the knower am awareness. Means you are resolving the knower and I in awareness. The content of I, the substance of the substantive I is awareness. Therefore, knower is awareness. The knower is temporary status attributed to awareness, but the awareness or consciousness is not the knower. And how many knowers are there? Every one of us can refer to I. How many I's are there? Really speaking, every I is what? The knower. Obtaining is, like the illuminator of this sofa, illuminator of that wall, illuminator of that television, that mirror. Illuminator of every opaque thing is what? You can say, in keeping with the number of illumined objects, you can say so many illuminators are there. You can say, really speaking, how many illuminators are there? Only illuminator, isn't it? And that only illuminator is light. Similarly, with every one of us, we can say, I am the knower, I am the knower, I am the knower. If you reduce I to knower, distinguishing it from all the known, then you can find out finally that knower obtaining in every one of us. Now, the I obtaining as the knower in every one of us is one and the only pure awareness. You do not do anything physically here. Without any contradiction, without, going against your reasoning, you see very clearly there is no knower. Therefore, if you resolve the I am the knower, means you resolve the I, distinguish the I from the known, and resolve the I in the knower. And the knower is awareness, means I the knower am awareness. You're resolving I also is what? In the very, along with the knower in awareness. And that awareness is the Swarupam of Aham, truth of I, substance of substantive I, or the knower. There's no knower. Abstract. You arrive at it. And that awareness is what now obtaining as the innermost, as the truth of the knower is truth of the knowledge. Truth of the knowledge is the truth of the known. Then we say, that is why we say, innermost essence of every being. At the same time, it pervades all pervasive. That's why you cannot use a better term, the implying word, defining word, other than Atma. Atma does not directly point out the consciousness, isn't it? It's only the word we define. You arrive at the truth. This word helps you arrive at the truth in terms of its swarupam. How you arrive at light, in terms of its swarupam. So here also aware, Atma means all pervasive, innermost essence of every being. All pervasive reality, there is no other reality. All pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being means you arrive at it as the truth of the very experiencer. Therefore, we say it obtains all three states of experience you analyze, that which obtains as the, like the fourth person, one who is available for recognition, as the very truth of the experiencer, obtaining in each state of experience, is what now we say, Turiyaha. Got the meaning? I think this is, at least this is very clear, means I can start from, I can go to next class, I can start the things. You got how, why the expression, the meaning of the expression you understood? Swarupam, or the truth of the experiencer. Got what it is? If you understand the truth of the illuminator is light, or swarupam of the illuminator is light, then you can understand swarupam of the knower or experiencer is awareness. It's clear, isn't it? This is. One thing this introduces here. Okay. And that's why this pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Why do you say pure? Is there impure awareness, impure consciousness? No. There's only awareness or consciousness. But add this to distinguish it. Here, when I say the pure light. The pure light is the swarupam of the illuminator. If you say the pure light is swarupam of the illuminator, what do I mean? Light, okay? If you see, what is pure light? The pure, the adjective pure, I add to the word light to distinguish it from the reflected light. Okay, I add the word. I can simply say, truth of the illuminator is light. I need not say, truth of the illuminator is pure light. But still I use the expression, truth of the illuminator is pure light. Why do I need to add the adjective pure? I don't need to add. But here, in Shastram, Shuddha, we use add the term pure to distinguish it from, you know, something else. Because it's a pure light, I add this adjective pure to the word light to distinguish it from the reflected light. Which means there is a term we have to use as what? Reflected light. And there's a pure light. Now the question should come, is there a pure light and is there reflected light? Really speaking, there is just the light. There is no reflected light. There is no pure light. There is only the light. But when do we call the light alone gets, again what now, gets the adjective, qualification added to it from the standpoint of the opaque. Every opaque object which shines in the presence of the light, reflecting the light, isn't it? And enjoying the status of being the reflecting medium. Every opaque object shines because of the presence of the light, in the presence of the light, enjoying what now status of being the reflecting medium. And it shines reflecting the light. So is there something called reflected light? Now we are seeing in front of me the opaque mic and the light. And is there something called a reflected light? really speaking, there's no reflected light. But the light in whose presence, because of whose presence alone, the opaque shines, reflecting the light, isn't it? So this reflected is a term, the adjective, the qualification is attributed to the light only in the presence of the, from the standpoint of the opaque. Is it clear? Light with opaque gets the temporary qualification, reflected light. The same light, we cognitively don't need to physically remove the mic, keep the mic here itself, but intellectually, cognitively, take away, minus opaque, what is light? It's the light, isn't it? But just to distinguish it, we add the what now? Adjective, pure light. Light minus opaque is equal to pure light. Light with opaque gets the name what now? Reflected light. So it's very clear, we know very well now, there is no pure light. These both adjectives are unnecessary. The pure also is not required. Reflected also is not required. What is there is just the light. But we add two adjectives as pure light, as reflected light. Just without opaque, light is pure and reflected. Similarly, awareness alone is aware. Just awareness is enough. We say pure awareness means what? So awareness with mind is what? Manifest awareness, manifest consciousness. If you know, awareness without the mind is what? Pure awareness. There's no such a thing called pure awareness and manifest consciousness and pure consciousness. But we add these two words, pure and manifest, from the standpoint of the mind. Consciousness with the mind is what? Manifest aware consciousness. Consciousness without the mind is what? Just think of the conscious without the... It's pure. Really speaking, the awareness is attributed with two different adjectives, pure and manifest, are adjectives attributed to the awareness in keeping with the what? The presence, in keeping with the mind. Is it clear? Really speaking, we don't have that. That is what is, if you call it, if the manifest means, you call it what? Upahitam. Upahita Chaitanyam. In Sanskritam we say Chaitanyam means what? Consciousness, isn't it? Consciousness obtaining in or manifest what? Upahitam. A consciousness without the manifesting medium, what do you say? Shuddha Chaitanyam. Upahitam. Associated with manifesting medium. Got it? These are the few things we had to discuss. Just I'm preparing you for the next class, you know. I had it from the 49 because I remember 52nd. No, two more. No, just I want to start from Turiya. That's what I wanted to say. So here this author uses Upahita Chaitanyam, Anupahita Chaitanyam. Upahita, Anupahita. What is Upahita Chaitanyam, Anupahita Chaitanyam? Consciousness associated with the manifesting medium is what? Upahitam. Consciousness not associated with the manifesting medium is Anupahitam. Pure manifest. We can say Upahita, Anupahita is pure. Upahita means manifest. So, what about Turiyam? Turiyam is Anupahitam. I heard of the word Turiyam. I said Turiya Chaitanya means, Turiya Atma means, the reality, all pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, everything, is what happens to be pure consciousness, implied by the term, Turiyam. And it is what? Anupahita Chaitanyam. Anupahitam. Upahita, Anupahita. Is it clear? Yeah. So let us read the 49th mantra now. The Turiya Swarupam is discussed in this 49th sentence. Vana Vriksha, read it now.
Vana Vriksha
Tadu
Avachinna
Akashayoho
Akashayoho
Jalashaya
Jalashaya
Jala
Jala
Jalashaya Jala
Jalashaya Jala
Tadgata
Tadgata
Pratibimba
Pratibimba
Akashayoho
Akashayoho
Va
Va
Adharabhuta
Adharabhuta
Anupahita
Anupahita
Akashaha
Akashaha
Akashavat
Akashavat
Anayoho
Anayoho
Jnana
Jnana
Tad upahita.
Tad upahita.
So anayoho.
Anayoho.
Ajnana.
Ajnana.
Tad upahita.
Tad upahita.
Chaitanyayoho.
Chaitanyayoho.
Adharabhutam.
Adharabhutam.
Yad.
Yad.
Anupahitam chaitanyam.
Anupahitam chaitanyam.
Tat. Turiyam
iti
uchyate.
Beautiful
long definition. What is said to be turiyam? Tad turiyam iti uchyate. That is said to be turiyam. That is what is implied by the term turiyam. What is said to be turiyam? The pure consciousness or pure awareness is said to be implied by the term Turiyam. What is that? Now he quotes that sentence from Mandukya Upanishad. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Chaturtham Manyate, Sa Atma Savijnyayaha. The quotation we'll see next class. And also we'll see the whole, that is said to be Turiyam. So, vana vriksha tadu avachinna akashayoho. Now, vana vriksha. We saw both, no? Vana vriksha tadu avachinna akashayoho. See, there's a big forest. See, the open space is there. Open space, okay? Open space is what? Akasha. This is space. Space is akashaha. The space filled with a given object. It can be one house. But here he gives example of forest, jungle. Many trees or some trees. Vana, vriksha. There is a space, given space. In this space, there may be one tree. Or in a bigger space, there are many trees. The space occupied with the trees. We say what now? Upahita akashaha. The space associated with occupying occupants, occupying objects is what? Upahita akashaha. The space, open space, not occupied, associated with occupying objects is what? Anupahita akashaha. So he says the example here. Vana vriksha tad avachinna akashayoho. The only one space, only one space alone, isn't it? But still, the avachinna means conditioned, limited. How do you say? Avachinna akashaha means what? No, conditioned or limited. Suppose a space, now we can easy example, better example is, now ghata akashaha, we can say ghata akashaha or room akashaha. We say now that kitchen space, hall space, pot space means, are there so many spaces? But still, when you say hall space or kitchen space, the space associated with the enclosure, you know, the space associated with the pot gets the status, what is a temporary name, what? Ghata akasha. Is it? Then we can say that is avachinna akashaha. So the space associated with a given enclosure or object which occupied a space also, is it? We say it's an avachinna akashaha. Avachinna means conditioned, limited. Limited by the enclosure or limited by the objects obtaining in the space, isn't it? We say, oh, mahan akashaha, we say. Big space, big jungle, or few trees. Still it is in limited by what? Few trees or some big things. Avachinna means it is conditioned, limited. So, just as the space associated with the enclosure, associated with the occupants, associated with the objects occupying the space, is said to be avachinna akashaha. Similarly, awareness associated with avachinna akashaha is upahita akashaha. Now, we give one more example. Jalashaya jala tadgata pratibimba akashayoho. Jalashaya means lake, pond, you know, big ponds or lakes is called jalashaya, a reservoir of waters. Jalashaya means a place where water is stored and collected. Jalashaya jala tadgata pratibimba akashayoho. No, and also there's a, give one more example. If there is a water and if there's reflection of sky in the space, the reflection of sky, no, in that water all is what? Pratibimba, is it? So that akasha. So this the sky associated with the reflection of the sky associated with the reflecting medium, the water. The reflection of the sky associated with the reflecting medium is what? Avachinna akashaha. It gives two examples. One in terms of occupation, one in terms of reflection. In both ways you can say. Associated with something. That's why I said the space associated with the enclosure, space associated with the reflecting medium, space associated with the occupying objects is called what? Avachinna akashaha. Three things I'm saying. Space associated with occupying things, okay, accommodated objects, space associated with enclosures, space associated with the reflecting medium. It's called avachinna space, avachinna akashaha. Limited, conditioned space. In fact, nothing can condition this space, isn't it? But still we use the term expression avachinna akashaha. Ohova. So akashohova. Adharabhuta anupahita akashaha akashavat. Now, really speaking, now we can understand the space in which the trees stand, the space in which the very entire forest remains, the space in which the enclosure pot or house or anything exists, the space, in which the very water is, the water itself, where is the water in space? But the water reflects what now? Suppose the sky, isn't it? Therefore, whatever it is, all these three types of, with the associated things we can think of, the woods, the forests, the trees, or the enclosures, or the water which reflects the sky, all of them existing in the very space cannot condition the space. If you think of the space without these occupying things or enclosures or reflecting medium, what is that space? Akasha is what? Yes. Shuddha Akasha. Isn't it? He says, that Akashaha, he says what? Anupahita Akashaha. Anupahita Akashavat. Got now Upahita Akashaha, Anupahita Akashaha. Limited conditioned space. Okay? This are pure space. Don't say unconditioned, okay? Pure space. Pure space. Conditioned space or limited space. Is there limited space and pure space? There's only space. But why do you use two terms? Conditioned space, limited space or pure space? There's no thing called pure space. There's no such a thing called conditioned space. We use these two terms in keeping with the association. When you associate space with the objects existing in space, space becomes what? Is looked upon as conditioned space. If we don't associate the space with the objects existing in space, it is pure space. It's called Upahita Akashaha, Anupahita Akashaha. Tadvat, like that. Sometimes the straight away lesson is easier than the example, isn't it? You got it? At least you got these two words now. Upahita, Anupahita. Avachinna, Anavachinna or Shuddha. You can use these words. Oh my God. But like that, sorry. Like that, he says, Anayoho, Ajnana, Tad Upahita, Chaitanyayoho, Adhara Bhutam. Yad anupahitam chaitanyam. Similarly, the pure awareness, in similarly the awareness associated with ajnanam. Ajnanam means what? Remember the term ajnanam long ago it taught. Associated with maya. Associated with, yes, ajnanam here means what? Mula vidya, I told you. Maya. The subtlest matter in it, na? The original form, original subtlest matter imparted by the term maya or avidya. It's ajnanam, isn't it? Associated with ajnanam. Associated with the subtlest matter. Matter in its original subtlest form is what now? Is said to be upahita chaitanyam. And now the same Chaitanyam, if it is not associated with the Ajnanam, then it is what? Anupahita Chaitanyam. Anupahitam means what? Shuddham. You can use Shuddham or Anupahitam. Unconditioned, unassociated with Ajnanam. The matter is what? Pure aware consciousness. The pure consciousness not associated with the ajnanam is known, implied by the term turiyam. Is said to be turiyam. That is what is explained here. Is it clear now? Now you have to remember all these terms. Upahitam, anupahitam, avachinnam, shuddham. Then you can got it now? This is what is turiyam. So pure consciousness is turiyam, not manifest consciousness. Understand? Because what is if you manifest consciousness alone, if you understand without the, if you don't cognitively distinguish the consciousness from the manifesting medium, it is pure consciousness. Like how you reflect, I say there's reflected light. Reflected light, light plus mic is equal to reflected light. Intellectually you delete the mic. Light, reflected light minus opaque object. Mic is what? Pure light. Similarly, awareness associated with ajnana, matter, is manifest consciousness. The awareness, isn't it? The manifest consciousness only you don't know. You can't understand pure. The manifest consciousness minus intellectually you remove the ajnanam. Ajnanam is what? Pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is turiyam. Got it? Turiyam, one thing I heard today. Hope I have not confused you. Okay? So I'm going to stop here. Turiyam iti uchyate. The next Mandukya mantra we'll see next class. Okay? And before that, today I want to start somewhere. Somewhere I want to start. So we meet after 3 months, Mama. That's why I had to go back to the class. See, we will see that ajnanam again. Next class in detail we'll see ajnanam, maya, avidya, everything we'll see. See, physical separation of consciousness and matter is not possible. Is it clear? Because very individual is what? Combination of Atma and Anatma. Every one of us here, as an inquiring individual, one who obtains here, you know, every individual who is into this enquiry itself is what? Combination of Atma and Anatma. So you cannot physically let me remove all the anatma and then see atma. That is why cognitively alone you are supposed to distinguish and you understand what is turiyam. What turiyam? Turiyam means it is another term implying atma. So how do you distinguish turiyam, the atma, from anatma? Not physically. Turiyam is pure consciousness. Because we use the term pure consciousness, don't think there's impure consciousness or manifest consciousness. Actually, you see the consciousness, there's only consciousness, which is the truth essence, the term atma, which is associated with the anatma, isn't it? It's what? Upahita chaitanyam. The consciousness, intellectually, you see it without the anatma, it is what? Pure consciousness. The consciousness unassociated or intercognitively distinguished from the matter is what now pure is implied by the term turiyam. That is the lesson, okay? And for the example he gives is little, is what now? The space, he takes a space. You can never separate pure space without anything, isn't it? Always understand, where is the space? What is pure space? There's just the space. In space everything exists. But you need to understand the truth of everything that is existent here. Suppose space, you understand space. So the things occupying space, the space associated with the objects occupying the space, is upahita akashaha. The space associated with the enclosures is said to be upahita akashaha. The space associated with what? Reflecting medium is called upahita akashaha. Conditioned, limited. But really speaking, not, isn't it? This cognitively, you don't need to physically remove, cut all the trees and then see what is pure space. Intellectually, cognitively, distinguish the space from the objects existing in space or enclosures, then you understand what? Anupahita akashaha, which is pure space. Similarly, here also, awareness associated with the manifesting medium, the mind, the ajnanam, the anatma is what? Upahita chaitanyam. Consciousness distinguished, cognitively distinguished, discerned from the manifesting medium or the matter is anatma, is pure consciousness. That pure consciousness cognitively discerned, distinguished from the matter is what? Implied by the term turiyam, which is nothing but atma. So we'll see the following explanation next class. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. I really intensely, fervently, I pray to Bhagavan every day that we all come sparing your precious time and energy, that really this study should bless you all with the clarity of vision, as that my genuine prayers are every day, that I'm not teaching simply. I also pray to Bhagavan that in no way my communication should cause any confusions in you, and then we all should be blessed with the clarity of vision, that my genuine every day pray and come. Now I'm also praying apart from teaching, because we see, teaching is, I do it as a sadhu dharma, but I also seek Bhagavan's grace to ward off the obstacles of pratibandhas because of your own karma or my karma. So I just pray and come. Okay? So anyway, as usual, always the prayers are there for all your well-being in all as respects.